Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Holy is He. Worthy is He. Worthy is the King. We dedicate ourselves, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Every part of us, all the inner workings of our thoughts, we dedicate to You, sir. The way that our will works, we dedicate it wholly unto You. We lay it at Your feet. We say, not our will, but Yours. We lay our emotions at Your feet. At Your feet. Our emotions do not rule. You rule. You rule. The great God and King, the one and only. He is the one and only. We proclaim Him as truly God, Master of the universe. And there is no other. And we will yield to no other. Forever and ever, Father. Cause our dedication to grow deeper and deeper every day. Till the day we step over. In Jesus' name, we dedicate ourselves to Your word.
Okay. So we start our services with reading the word at our church that we just planted because it was a pandemic and all the churches were shutting down. So we started one. We just decided, you know what? Hey, you're not going to meet. We will. And so, but our church, our Living Word where I was, never shut down either. So we believe in the fact that we are the church. The building is not the church. Right? So why should I shut down? I'm not, they just shut down our building. I'm the church, so I can keep going. So I'm not disobeying any orders. I'm sure not going to disobey God's orders, right? Because His order is that we continue to fellowship one with another and not be ashamed and not be afraid, not fear, right? I will not fear. You know, you get sick, you get well. You pray. Is that true? Have you gotten sick all your life and then you got well, right? If I die, I see Jesus. It's a win-win. What do I have to lose in that? Grief. I tell you, they're afraid because they don't know where they're going. We're not afraid. I know where I'm going. It's a breath out in this world and it's a breath in the next. And that's a way better world. Okay, open your Bibles if you want. We just read the Word of God in the first for an hour in our church. For the first hour, we start at 5:30 and we end about 7:38, usually 8, and Saturday nights, and we just read the word, start out. We're having miracles happen. Amen. So I actually, while I was sitting there, I was reading the word, and I began to see diamonds fall, and I began to see diamond rings fall. So I believe that we can grab on to what the Lord is sending down from heaven. You guys, we're already at a high level in this place. We aren't starting at the bottom. We're starting at the top, I feel like. And I feel like we're going to be catapulted into a higher level. So last night was just the beginning of that. And here we go. Let's take this ride and have a lot of fun, okay? You know, we don't, a lot of times you come to a retreat and it takes a couple of days to get like going in the spirit, right? That's not going to be how it is here. We're already there. We're already ready because you guys are already ready. The Holy Spirit's already ready to move. We're already ready to do what He, or to participate with that. And so we're just going to dive in. All right. So open your Bibles to Isaiah. This is the first thing that the Lord was showing me this morning. And let's look at, let's look at Isaiah 46 first. And let's look at verse 3. Listen, reading the Word of God out loud is one of the most powerful ways to inactivate, because all we're doing is we're going to pray this as we say it. Listen, okay, verse 3, 46, Isaiah 46, verse 3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. We're all grafted in, right? We're all grafted. We don't replace Israel. We are grafted in with them. We love them. All the remnant of the house of Israel, and we are the remnant, right? Who have been upheld by me from birth. We're talking to you. God has upheld us all from birth. Who have carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am He. Look at this next one. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. Don't you love that? Woo! I cover mine up, but I'm glad that He knows the color of my hair. I have made, and I will hear, and even I will carry you, and I will deliver you. Now turn back to Isaiah 40. It's kind of funny because at our church, everybody now is starting to carry the Bible. Because we lost that. Everybody was carrying their iPhone and all of that, right? We got to carry our Bibles, folks, because we have a Bible, number one. Glory to God. They can't take it away from us because it's in here. But this is so powerful. This is sharper than any two-edged sword. Any physical weapon that is formed against us, this is more powerful, right? Including a virus. Glory to God. All right. Have you not known? Let's see. 40 verse. Now, we read entire chapters most of the time, or entire books. We read like the first five books. Many of you are pastors in here. We read the whole book of James. Like we come in one day, we'll read the whole book of James. We just listen to the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit's doing. And, it, you know, everybody reads 10 verses or something like that. This morning I'm going to read just for sake of time. But it's so powerful because what's happening is we're declaring the Word of God. We're absorbing it, and it's coming in, and miracles are happening. We've had the lost found. We've had a salvation. We've had more than one salvation. It's just happening because we're just declaring. We're saying what God is thinking anyway, and all we're doing is repeating it back to Him, right? We're calling Him in. That's right. Exactly. I didn't even know what I read half the time, but I know it's brilliant because it's God's Word. And I believe we can participate on such a high level with the Word of God. We have no idea. We've not even touched it yet. Yet. We're getting there. We will get here to the rest of our, till Jesus comes. Okay. Verse, Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord of God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule. Say it out loud with me if you want to. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. Isn't that precious? He's like, have you ever seen that picture of a good shepherd carrying the lamb? Isn't that you right there in that lamb? He's carrying you in His bosom. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, measured the heaven, that with His hand, He measures the heavens with His hand. Is our God too small? Oh my goodness. And calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountain in His scale. And the hills, we're in the mountains now, but I live in the hills. And so he weighs the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who, let's say it again, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as His counselor has taught Him? Oh my goodness, nobody. With whom did He take counsel? And who instructed Him and taught Him the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Let's just take it right now. That's the way of understanding, God, right now. We declare that we want the way of understanding. Lord, we need wisdom and knowledge and revelation. We don't know how to operate in these days, but we call home wisdom, knowledge, and revelation. We say, come, come, Lord, come in wisdom, knowledge, and revelation, because that's who You are, because nobody taught You, but we need You. We need You to teach us. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as a small dust on the scales. He lifts up the islands as a very little thing. Glory. Glory. All the nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted by Him less than nothing and worthless. Who is this God we serve? Whoo. I tell you what, we've been praying and calling out the fear of the Lord to fall. First on the church. Me. First on me. First on the church. God, we need the fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord. God, I ask for the fear of the Lord. So when I was in Nepal, we were in a very high place. Okay, you know where Everest is, right? That's where I was. I was in that area. Now, we never could see Everest because it was always above the cloud, but we were, you know, we were in that area. We were in the highlands of Nepal, okay? Now, you would think Nepal would have a lot of snow, but the area where we were, they didn't have snow. I don't know if they were too high. I don't know. I don't know anything. And I couldn't understand the language, so I really didn't know anything. I love being a missionary and not knowing any language. You just go, I know nothing. And you're just catching what they're interpreting for you. So that's, you know, that's all. You just rely on that. So we're in the very high place of Nepal. And we thank you for the fear of the Lord. So we were doing, I was supposed to teach prophetic. So I was teaching them to prophesy. And I do it in a very simple way. We do it in the most simple but profound way. We teach the young and the very old the very same thing. It's all Jesus. It's all Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who gives, Holy Spirit's the one who gives us the picture. And God is the one who has the interpretation. That's all we can rely on is the Lord, because who can teach him? Who taught him? Nobody. We go to him because he teaches us. Okay, so here we are on the high mountains in Nepal. We're way up there. And in this wonderful little place. And a young man gets up. I call him up and we start to prophesy over him. And our sweet Kathy operates in the joy of the Lord, but had the full vision of this young man. She said, I saw a picture. So she starts to tell what the picture was. And I began to prophesy, boom, lightning strikes. And I said, oh, that's an exclamation point from the Lord. That was a right on word, my friend. Okay, and so I continued to prophesy. Then, boom, another lightning strike. We call forth the pastors because we're realizing this is a holy moment. Okay, we pull the pastors out. They come up and all men begin to pray for this young man. Boom, lightning strike. We get done with prayer. By this time, I'm shaking. He's already been shaking for quite a while, shaking like this. We have a final lightning strike, four lightning strikes. I'm shaking now. Okay, then it begins to hail, which is a pure word from heaven. Maybe a hard word from heaven. I don't know. Is that all a hard word from heaven? But it wasn't hard hail. It was the kind of stuff that just comes down, kind of like our sleet, but it was different. It may have been rain first, but then it turns to this icy something coming down. Then it turns into, and this is the honest to God truth, we lost all control. I said, we're going to close this down now. We prayed and dismissed. And then, because I knew I'd lost control. There was no hope. Then the little balls came down that were like snowballs. They were white, but they were like, unlike what I've seen little snowballs here, but not like these. It was different. And then they all out had a snowstorm. So we went on with our day. We just went on like normal. We had the next meeting later, you know, went on. The next day we find out they had not had snow in 14 years. that, but the fear of God in me. I can't produce, I had to say right off the bat, I can't produce lightning. Because many times they think, if you're me coming to a nation, it is all different people, right? I can't produce lightning. So I had to say that right off the bat, protect my life. Because I was afraid. Not afraid of them. I was in fear of the Lord. We fear the Lord because He directs the lightning. He directs the snow. He directs the rain. Fire Camp has had lightning strikes more than once. In fact, we've had transformers blow right when, that year I had turned to prophesy over a young lady and boom, the transformer blows. I thought, you're terrified for children, first of all. You don't know what happened. You didn't know somebody shot a gun. You don't know what happened. But the fear of the Lord came on us in that meeting. We had actual firemen at fire camp. It was awesome. Oh, fire camp. I'm sorry. Fire camp is Here I Am, the One You Love, in a book. Did I bring it? Anyway, it's this book. It's this book that the Lord downloaded to me. Do you have one? Anyway, the Lord downloaded that book, Here I Am, the One You Love, but it was because, thank you, dear, it was because we had been teaching children how to hear the voice of God, how to dream and dream interpretation. They're never too young for this. They get it. Dream and dream interpretation. Healing. Thank you. Give me cliff notes. Art or creativity of any kind. And angels. And so that's what this book is. And the Lord did the whole thing. The pictures included. It was all from the Lord. There's the angels page. This is so precious. I could tell you the miracles that happened every single page. So anyway, that's what we do at Fire Camp. And it takes on all different kinds of flavors. Every year it's different. Every time we do it, it's different. We do it for adults. We do it for kids. Thank you, hon. Whoever, wherever. And so let's turn now in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles. Because this is the message of the moment. And I will probably preach this, or we will probably read this more than once this week. Because I have the fear of the Lord. Maybe it's 1 Chronicles. Oh, hold on, I've got it. 1 Chronicles 12. And it's gotten to where every single time we have service, this is the scripture we read first, or somewhere. It doesn't have to be first, but okay. So we're going to start 1 Chronicles 12, and we're going to start at 18. Because when I was listening to this, I was listening to my Bible, and the Spirit of God hit me when I was laying down, you know, with my eyes closed, but I was listening to the Word of God, and the Spirit of God hit me, just struck me when we were listening to this. So I listened to it like five times. Here we go, verse 18. And I'm going to skim some of it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, the chief of the captains. Okay, this was the chief of the captains that the Spirit of the Lord came upon. Pastors, we are chief of the captains. We are, our bodies, our church bodies are the captains. But the Holy Spirit is the chief. And we want to follow everything He's doing. Now, everything I'm going to teach you today about dreams, we're going to teach you stuff that we've learned doing fire camp. The Lord has taught us these things. But it all has to do with how we follow Holy Spirit. All right. Then the Spirit came upon him. We are yours, O David. We are on your side. This was when David was calling out the kingdom, and he was solidifying the kingdom. Right, that he was going to rule over and reign over. We are on your side, David. Peace be unto you, and peace to your helpers, for God helps you. So David received them and made them captains of the troop. Some from Manasseh defected to David. Then when he was going to the Philistines to battle against Saul, but they did not help them, for the lords of the Philistines. So in other words, it became clear, we're not going with the Philistines. We're going with David. We're on the side of... Now, I want you to... We're going to replace David with the Lord. We are on the side of the Lord. We are not on the side of Baal. We're not on the side of Moloch. We're not on the side of the demonic. We're not on the... We're not on the side of the occult. Let's make it clear. Okay? We are not idol worships. No. We never will. We will never bow down to that. Okay. Okay, so let's go down to verse 23, because then it talks, it just clarifies it just a little bit more. And they helped David and the against bands of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor. They were captains in the army, for at that time they came to David day by day to help him until they were a great army like the army of God. Oh. Are you the army of God? Yes. I used to think that would be horrible, the most awful thing to go out and fight. Now I'm like, let me at them, because I see how wicked they are. I'm like, I don't care if I just take out somebody's toenail. I'm going. Not in the natural. I'm not going against men, physical men or women. I'm going against the devil. If I take out a toenail, I'm glad. That man, that demon. We defeat him. Why? How? By the word of our mouth, word of our testimony, this word, we hold this word up. So we have our marching orders with the word of God. Now, these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war. And they came to David at Hebron and turned over the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord, because the Lord had already told them. And then he begins to list out Judah, bearing shield and spear. Simeon, mighty men, we're down at 25. Simeon, mighty men of valor, fit for war. What does valor mean? I looked it up. Great courage in the face of danger. Are we going to be those in the face of danger who turn and run? No. No. In fact, have you ever felt the Spirit of the Lord raise up within you and get so furious you could destroy an army? Okay, those are who we are. If the men can be the bride of Christ, I can be a mighty man of God. Amen? Amen? I can drive out a troop. Yeah. The word of the Lord. Yeah. Mighty men of valor, because I'm going to face danger. 7,100, the numbers. Levi, Aaronites, keep going down to verse 28. Zadok, young men, valiant warriors. Benjamin, keep going down. Ephraim, who were more mighty men of valor. We will face danger and not be afraid. Down to verse 32, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times. What times do we live in? Are we going to bury our head and just pretend that's not happening? No, I don't believe they're going to take out President Trump. They're not. That's not really happening. Oh, my goodness, you better know it's happening. And it's not a war against President Trump. It's a war against you and me. It's a war against our Constitution. Yeah, they want to come after us. He's just standing in the way. We got to pray for our president, because he's standing right in the gap for us. And all of the men who are around him and all that. Okay, right? So we have understanding of the times. To know what Israel, to know what the church ought to do. I'm not replacing Israel. Oh my God, don't say that. I love Israel. We love Israel. They are absolutely needed, and God has full on purpose for Israel. They have not been replaced by the church. But I'm saying we are a part of that. We are part of the church, and we have to know what the church is supposed to do in this day. They shut down the buildings, right? Because they didn't know what the church didn't have an answer. Where were we? Where were we? Were we not in the Word? Were we not in the Word? When we first started doing this, when we opened up right after Passover, we opened the church, we just started reading. I was thinking, oh, we'll read for 15 minutes. It went on and on and on, where we were reading 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and then it's up to an hour. It's because we're starved. We have been famished of the Word of God in our nation. So us declaring the Word of God whenever we meet together is so extremely important. Okay, so we have to have understanding of the time to know what the church Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200, all their brethren. Go down to Zebulun, who were 50,000, who went into battle, who were expert in war with all weapons of war. Do you know what your weapons of warfare are? We're going to teach you today how to do dreams and interpretation. I believe dreams is the best tool that church has been given. If the Lord said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, you will prophesy, right? You will have dreams. You will have visions. If he said that, and that's he said in the last days, then shouldn't we, the church, understand the times that we're living in, and shouldn't we be the absolute best at this? If you hear somebody say, I had a dream, where will they go to get their dream interpreted? Where? Tell me where. Where do they go? They go to psychics. That's the number one answer on, you know, what's that family game? Number one answer, psychic. That should not be so. We declare it will not be so. We will be people who understand the times. We will be the best dream interpreters, not because we have it, but because who just said, who taught me? God himself. He will teach us all interpretation. Daniel said, all interpretation belongs to the Lord. If you have a dream and you say it's from the devil, can the devil interpret your dream? No. So I want us to get out of that habit. Because a lot of times we'll say, oh, I don't know if the devil gave me that dream or if God gave me that dream. Wait a minute. Can the devil create anything?
No.
He's a stinking liar.
Okay, here's the scripture.
Read it. Here.
Okay.
You got the mic?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to read the scripture because this is really an outward. Because, is it working?
Okay. Because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, clarify riddles, and solve knotty problems were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar.
Belshazzar. Yeah, that was his evil name. That was the wicked
name.
He's Daniel.
Now, let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation.
That's right.
We are called to interpret dreams.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's
in
right.
The body of Christ, outside of the body of Christ, if we can interpret a dream, solve a riddle, we have the answers
That's
today
right.
for people who are looking. Because God's speaking to believers and unbelievers alike.
That's exactly right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And when we come in with the answer, that's it.
That's right.
We got the answer. Because you'll see, when you interpret a dream, it'll hit that person. And they'll go, whoa. Yeah. Because we have got a lot of new agers around, especially, you know, here.
Yeah.
So that have learned the new age. And God is speaking to them. He's calling them into
yes.
the kingdom. And when we can, you know, just add that part where it hits their spirit, and then there's no denying it.
That's right.
And that's where we're at, guys. And I've seen it. I see it happen all the time with dreams. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to plow through. And you know what? Here's the awesome part. When we teach dreams, people get the impartation.
Yes.
So just get ready to receive that impartation.
Amen. Yeah. At the very end, we're going to read, that's Daniel 5:12. We're going to read it again.
Yeah.
And we're going to declare it over this group.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Because that's the impartation from heaven. Expert in war, all weapons of war, what are our weapons of war? What are our weapons of war? Our weapons of warfare are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, right? I need to think about it for a second. Sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the heart, the soul and the spirit. And I love, because you taught that last night. Right on. Wasn't last night? Lord, 2 nights ago. Who knows? It was good. It's right on. Stout-hearted men who could keep ranks. Stout-hearted men. I love that. I am not going to turn on my constitution or on my word of God. because somebody says that's not valid. No, you're a liar. And I'm going to be stout-hearted about it. I'm going to be stubborn. I don't know if that means stubborn, but I can be stubborn, okay? Danites, go down to verse 35, who could keep battle formation. Okay, keep battle formation. So I'm going to stop there because we'll do this again. But what we want to be is people who will be stout-hearted, who will be men of valor, who will be mighty men of God, but who will keep battle formation. What happens when you don't, when you break ranks? Or when you don't keep battle? What? Chaos. That's actually what hit our country. Did you feel the chaos at one point? I first felt the slime. I was out in it all the time because I helped people get food. I had the people that were terrified to get out. I still have people that won't come out of their house. Have not come out of their house since March. That's the spirit of fear. So we actually have been praying against the spirit of fear all this time and demanding it to leave our state and to leave Kansas too, because we have authority over Kansas, because Colorado was the first territorial capital of Colorado, Kansas. Golden, where I am, was the first territorial capital. So I have authority from my place of authority, and I pay taxes there, and so I have authority in the spirit realm. So I pray, and God's given me the land. In pleasant, whoo. That's another incredible miracle. Glory to God. Okay, let's start. Here. God, why does God use dreams? Okay, first of all, let me just say, Jesus commanded us to take the good news of Jesus to the world. He knows this is a huge job, right? So what did Jesus do right after before he ascended, the disciples were told to do what? He said, Terry, go where? Go to where? Jerusalem. And what? Wait on what? The Holy Spirit. If Jesus told us to win the entire world, then he said, wait on the Holy Spirit. Because he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit who has all the gifts. Now, I know we have a lot of great tools out there. Christendom, I've been a Christian my entire life. I don't ever know a time I didn't love Jesus. But we have a lot of great tools out there. Evangelism used to terrify me, absolutely terrify me, because I have to go out and teach somebody the four laws. Are you kidding? I don't know them, you know, and I'd go out and I'd, do you want to come to Jesus? You know, oh my goodness, right? Did anybody else feel that way? Oh my goodness. And they're like, who are you and what are you doing? I don't know, because that's not the right tool. But if you wait on the Holy Spirit and you come to breakfast and you say, hey, did you have a dream last night? Or you're standing in the grocery store line, yeah. Oh, did you dream last night? Or you'll hear them saying, I had this dream last night. I was standing at my coffee shop when I was writing the book, the dream book, which I have, but I haven't gotten out of my car, so I wasn't sure I wanted to sell them to y'all. Apparently, I have a bunch of dream books. But the dream, I thought it was funny that I didn't have them on my table. Anyway, and I'm up here to teach dreams. I have a beginner book on dreams. So I was writing this book, and I'm standing there, and all the baristas knew me, and they all trusted me because I'd been there for almost 3 years writing this book. And every day, every morning at 4 a.m., I'd come in and I'd sit and write. Well, one of the baristas one morning, she says, I had the most horrific dream last night. And so I said, would you like to tell me? Because it's a big deal to talk about something that happened in the night. So if somebody ever says no, just say, oh, it's okay. And don't be offended by it, because it is. Sometimes it's extremely personal, or sometimes it's really gross. I was in the outhouse, and the toilet was overflowing, right? I mean, sometimes it's really gross. We've heard just about everything. Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, I haven't heard that. And that's hilarious. But anyway, she had this dream, And this is a woman that I knew, didn't know Jesus, didn't want to know Jesus necessarily. She had a whole bunch of idols. She said, I have all of these. She didn't call them idols. She called them, well, they were statues. I don't know what she called them. Maybe she did call them idols. Yeah, let's dance. So, anyway, she said, I get up every morning and I give my idols an offering and I, you know, talk to them. So I knew what she was into already. So she has this dream that she is around a campfire. And on the campfire, on the spit over the campfire is a pig roasting on the spit. But the pig is alive. There were a lot of really dark people around, which were probably her idols, her demons, okay? And she's, what's happening is the pig is screaming. It's alive. It's roasting on the fire. And she said, I knew there had to be a sacrifice. So I'm trying to pull my skin off to sacrifice for the pig. Okay, that's pretty nasty sounding, isn't it? Okay, do you think that dream is from the devil? We could say that, couldn't we? Oh, that sounds demonic. God was showing her that there had to be a sacrifice for the pig who is our life without Jesus. It's the dirty, unclean thing that is roasting, that is absolutely in torment because I don't know Jesus. And there has to be a sacrifice. Who's the sacrifice? Jesus. It was the clearest picture of the gospel I had heard in a long time coming from this New Age sister. And I began to talk to her and tell her. I got all the way up to the point where I could say, do you want Jesus? And I said, what I was saying was he's provided everything. And I was giving her, he's the sacrifice for the pig. He's the one who will save you. I get right up to there. And it was like we were under a cone of silence. We were under, you know, remember, Get Smart. The cone of silence, remember the cone of silence that dropped down? I'm not kidding you. It was like the cone of silence dropped down. She was so focused on me giving her the gospel and telling her how much she's loved. And I got all the way up to, do you want Jesus? And it was like the cone of silence went off. And I looked out and there was a line of people in the coffee shop clear out the door. Neither one of us had heard anything. And I said, get to work. Because Jesus knows the time. You get somebody to a point, right? But until it's the right time, Holy Spirit knows the right time for somebody's heart to be tender. She heard the gospel, and I believe she's coming. And I'm still praying, right? I don't know. So she may already love Jesus. She may already be there. So, sadly, for me, it was like, oh, bummer. But it was what a great evangelistic tool. Because there it was, the gospel right coming at me, sounding like a pretty demonic dream. Oh, that was straight from Jesus that had the key. Because whenever we're looking at a dream, we're always going to get edification, exhortation, and comfort, just like we do at Corinthians, when we prophesy, we're prophesying edification, exhortation, and comfort, right? All of us. We're looking for the redemptive word in everything. So today, when we do your dreams, because we're going to just model this for you, we're going to get edification, exhortation, and comfort. And you're going to get empowered by the building up of the body, because we're going to build you up with the dreams. Even if you didn't have the dream and somebody else is up here with a dream, you grab a hold of what you can use, and you grab a hold of that promise, and it's yours. Just like they had the dream, okay? So why does God speak to us in dreams? Because our body is asleep. Your distractions are all gone. God has your full attention. You can't argue with him either, right? Can you argue when you're asleep? You're sound asleep? Now, I've woken up and argued with him. I was like, why did you do that to me? Or what were you thinking? You can go to the next one. So your body's asleep. In a dream, and this is from Job 33, right? Yeah. 14 and 15. In a dream, in a vision at night, when you are deep in sleep, God opens your ears and impresses you with warnings. Job was the first book written, right? We're talking about this from clear back antiquities. This was the oldest book. He opens our ears, impresses us with warnings to turn us back from something we're planning. Okay, this is like that time when you memorize scripture and you take out some words. From some bad decision you're about to make. And to, I don't know why that's gone. That's so weird. And to keep you from an early death. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Can God shake you awake with a terrifying dream? Don't blame the devil. He knows nothing and he's stupid and he's, you know, he would lie to you. Right. He's a liar. You go to Jesus. All dreams have a message. Always look to God for the interpretation. Because here's what John 1 says. The Word was first. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without me. How many of you have had dreams that you got through with that dream and you were like, that could never have come from my thought process? Right. Yeah? It was like, oh my, how did that ever happen? Okay, next. I caught the fragrance of the Lord is here in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Colossians, I love this because it's the Word of God that is really alive and working today. Right now, in Jesus, we just hesitate right now with the fragrance of the Lord. You might smell something. We just say your Word is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. You, Jesus, are the Word. We love you. We're participating with your word right now. And we just thank you that even your impartation is dropping down upon us to catch the gift of interpreting dreams. We just thank you right now because we know you teach us. Holy Spirit, you're the best teacher on the planet. We love you. And Lord, right now, we just recognize that because we are participating with the word, things are being healed and set free. The lost are coming in. The things that have been lost. We had a diamond earring found. This lady had lost a very precious diamond earring. She yanked her mask off and it went flying. And it was over a big chunk of property. And they had been looking for 5 weeks for it. We came together and we prayed. The next morning, she found it. It was right in front of her. Word of God. Speak to us today. If you need to declare somebody needs to come back or something needs to come back right now in Jesus' name, we declare it. We say thank you in advance that you're bringing them back. Thank you that you're bringing that thing that we thought we lost back. You're bringing it back right now. That person that we love, it's coming back right now. We declare it because your word is true. And we say nothing is lost because you have it. We thank you for how you're working right now. God, commission your angels. Woo! Glory. Commission your angels. Whoo, we got juice on this. Let's ask. Those who've lost money with taxes. Right now, in Jesus' name, we declare unjust taxes. We declare that's coming back in Jesus' name right now. Anything you feel like you've lost from unjust weights and balances, right now, it's coming back. We say in Jesus' name, if you lost a lot of money in 2008, we say, yes, Jesus, it's coming back. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory. Your word is so good to us. Your word is true. It's true. You are God who cannot lie. You can't even come out of your mouth because you are true. You are just and true. And Lord, right now, if justice has been undone, Lord, right now, we call justice back in Jesus' name in every situation. We say justice must come back to us. But we are the children of the Most High God. We are ones who participate with justice. We participate with the truth. We say you are the truth. Glory. Some of you have been sick, unjustly, sick or injured, and you're like, what happened there? What was that? Janet, what was that? Right? No, that's unjust. That sickness is unjust. We just say no. It's not acceptable. Like our friend Laura used to say, this is unacceptable. Our body not walking with the Word of God. Our body not lining up to the Word of God. We just say, line up with the Word of God right now, body. We demand you line up. We command you to be healed in Jesus' name. Because the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever heard of Sandra Kennedy, but Sandra Kennedy, they just read the Word in their meetings on healing. They read all the healing scriptures because that's what they are focused on. And that's what the Lord. And as they read, people jump up all over. I've been healed. I've been healed. I've been healed. We just believe that right now in Jesus' name. Just as we talk, even if we're talking about another subject, it's grab your healing. If you've got it, grab it. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds purpose in Him. Can a dream come from the devil? You know, I won't say absolutely no, that the devil won't come in and like twist a dream against you, or if there's some sort of a door open that he can terrify you in the night. So I'm not, please know, I'm not being dogmatic on anything here. But let's go to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord and say, Lord, why did I have that dream? Show me what your answer is, because you have all wisdom and all knowledge. All right, next. How to interpret dreams. We're going to tell the dream story, so we're going to model this for you right now. Oh, what time do we stop?
Yeah, it's 10:30.
Okay, well, if we need to stop, you just come and put your hand up. Okay, how to interpret dreams. We're going to tell the dream story. We are going to beg God for help. He loves to help us. But I tell you, it's so funny. We'll be sitting there and you'll be hearing a dream and the enemy is like, you're not going to get this dream. You're not going to get this dream. I tell you that because when you just start doing this, you'll be listening to the dream going, I have no clue what that dream means. Everybody feels that way. Yeah. Because it's not from us that the interpretation comes. It's from the Lord, right? So we ask God for help. And if your Father on earth knows how to give good gifts to you, how much more does your Heavenly Father, when you ask, know how to give good gifts? If you ask for a piece of bread, is He going to give you a stone? No, we're asking for heaven's manna, heaven's fresh bread. Okay, ask God for help. And then we repeat the dream, or a friend repeats the dream out loud, so no details are forgotten. And then we're going to ask and answer questions. So I already cheated a little bit. Millie, would you come up and can we do your dream? She came right in, and I didn't interpret the dream yet, but I was like, oh, that's a good dream. And if you at all feel like you're going to go over, we're going to put this chair right here. We've learned to just set people down because, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is strong. And we may as well just be ready, okay?
Yeah. Nope.
Just the dream. That's a really good question, she just asked. Okay, so what we are looking for when we're going to interpret your dreams is we want a really short dream. And her dream is really short. What you told me was just perfect. But we wanted about 15 seconds or less And that seems really short, but once you get to talking, it comes out quickly, okay? That's what we want. And we don't want any background, because if we know, then we tend to go, oh, well, this could be that, you know, something that was happening. If we need answers to anything, we'll ask you the question, and then you'll have... then we'll get the details that we need. But we don't want any details, so don't say, oh, well, this is pray about my... Well, no, don't. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, is this working?
No. Keep talking.
Hello, hello, hello.
Maybe a little bit louder.
Hello?
It's on. It's on.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, there we go. There we go.
Okay, so I'm sleeping, and Lori... walks in the room with great authority and says, in the middle of the night, I'm here with your keys. And I sit up in my bed and I'm in my dream, and I'm like, okay. And she says, don't worry, and walks to the other door, the connecting door to the other room, and starts fiddling with that door and does the keys, and then comes back and goes out the door and says, all done, good night, and walks out. And all I remember thinking was, why didn't she come during the day?
You can stay right here.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I woke up and asked Amber, did you see that lady come in last night?
Oh, so you just had the dream last night.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know if it was previous to the retreat. Okay, so you want me to repeat?
Yes.
Okay. So you're in bed sleeping, and you see Lori come in the room, and she said she has the answer? She had the keys. And then she goes to the door that's adjoining.
Well, she does our door.
Oh, first your door.
Yes.
Where's your mic? She can keep that. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We don't have keys for our room.
You didn't have the key for your room. So she goes and opens the first door.
She gives us the keys.
Did she open the door?
No, she gives us the keys.
She gave you
room. The
keys. And then she went to the adjoining room.
And gives them their keys.
And gives them... Oh, there was people in the other room.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's two doors that have no keys.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wow.
So I wore my key necklace today because I think...
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, that's a good dream.
That's a really good dream.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the end. And then you woke up and you in the dream and sat up and said, why didn't she come during the day?
No, I said that to myself because Amber was sleeping.
Oh, in the morning when you woke up.
Yeah, I'm like...
But you sat up.
I sat up in bed.
Yeah, in the dream.
And then I thought to myself, well, why didn't she come during the day? And then I went back to sleep. And then in the morning, I asked Amber, did you see that lady come in last night? And she's like, no. And I'm like, was that real or was that a dream?
Wow.
It was so real.
It was so real.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a lady come in the door
and
do that.
Wow.
But there was no keys in the doors. So I knew it was a dream or a vision or... Whatever.
Well, you were asleep, so we're going to call it a dream.
Asleep, yeah. So we'll call it a dream.
Yeah.
And there's still no keys in the door.
But that was for you. Okay, so she was... Okay, so what are keys? What do keys do? They unlock things. Our friend Adam has such a wonderful way of putting it. If you have a padlock or any lock, you know that there's a tumbler system in there. The key is cut specifically for that specific lock, right? And when you put the key in, all the tumblers go to the right place. It turns the right, and then the door unlocks, right? So when Lori, who you don't hardly know Lori yet, But to us, to me, I'm going to say, Lori represents a high level of discerning, discerning what's going on in the spirit realm. She says everything that is important for you to hear. She's trustworthy. So all of those things, and she's got a track record of accuracy, extreme accuracy. I know that because she's been extremely accurate in my own life. So to me, that's what she represents. And you're going to find that out. But she's in the night. She has come to you as an emissary from heaven to bring you keys which are going to unlock. Do you have thought?
Well, I was just thinking, because when you see people, I'm going to stand here. Yeah. So when you see people in dreams, you know, we naturally think, oh, it's Lori. So we got to press into that and go, what does Lori represent? Why could I'm kind of just teaching here, so because you'll see a lot of people in dreams, obviously. And so what does Lori represent to me? What does Lori's name mean? That could be another thing. And, okay, then the one I believe this is meaning here is the person of the Holy Spirit is coming and imparting, bringing impartation to Millie. And I believe it's for all of us because the adjoining rooms.
Amen.
We're all adjoining here, right? So you guys grab onto this dream because this is how the Holy Spirit is imparting to all of us because of that. The adjoining room was really important in that dream.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and it, you guys think about this. We're in these lodges that are adjoining. I know you have your own lodge. Happy anniversary. but you're still adjoined with us, okay? So so we want to look at that, and because sometimes we think it's so, like, you know, we actually put things in a box and we think, oh, it's got to be this person, it's got to be this way. But if you think about it in the realm of the spirit, because you go into the spirit and you go, okay, what does that mean in the spirit? Because dreams are spirit. You know, we worship him in spirit and in truth. So we actually, dreams are the same thing. We see into the spirit realm. So you're seeing, and what the Holy Spirit is bringing, and it could be some of, because of what she carries, is the discerning of spirits and the truth, and that it could be those things.
Is your thing, Rachel, not working?
No, here. Rachel, read that or say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just looked up a quick thing of Lori's name, and one of the meanings that I saw was that it's symbolic of honor and victory.
Honor and victory.
Yeah.
That is so good. So Revelation 3:7, as you know, to the faithful church, you are the faithful church. He who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works, and I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For I have little strength and have kept my word. And I have not denied my name. Now, so the other thing I wanted to say about names is that when Lori showed up in the dream, she showed up as an emissary. An emissary is someone who the king sends to give a message. And so Lori is the messenger in this dream. Now, the reason the Lord gives us somebody that we recognize, some of you will have President Trump dreams, and you're like, why was President Trump in my room? You know, because the Lord is sending an emissary that looks like somebody you know. It's not like some unknown person on the street that you would never recognize. You know what I mean? But you go, oh, this man represents this government to me. Okay. So I recognize him because okay. So Lori, in this case, represents honor and victory. And but other things, she's an emissary from heaven to show up in the night, okay? It's very easy to jump to the conclusion, you see somebody die in a dream, and you jump to the conclusion, oh, that person's going to die. And then you make the big, huge mistake, the massive mistake, of going and saying, I dreamed you died last night. Oh. Don't do that. Because why? Why? Did that just feel good when somebody comes to you and says, you're going to die. I saw you're going to die. No. No. Don't say that to anybody. Or don't say you're going to have a baby. And don't say you're going to get a divorce or you're going to change jobs. Okay? Just say, don't do that. We don't do that. That's the protocol we teach. We want to give good words. We want to build you up. The Lord is the one who fulfills his word. If there's a future word going to happen, the Lord will fulfill it, whether you say it or not, right? Sometimes there is something that the Lord will give us direction about, but we want to be extremely careful with it.
I think this is a prophetic word for the church, actually.
Amen. Amen.
Here's the thing I'm thinking about is, why did he come in the night? Why did she come in the night instead of the day? Look at what we're asking right now, what's happening in America.
Right.
You know, it feels like night, doesn't it? It feels like the night is kind of coming.
Yes.
Why didn't we get this during the day? It's that scripture, too, that that scripture, you know, we only have so many hours before the night, you know. And so I feel like it's actually bigger than even just this room.
Yes, amen.
And this place.
Yes, amen.
Oh, you have something?
I had a thought. I noticed that you said that it was so real. It was like, it wasn't like a vision where you sort of see the sense of it. You saw her as though she walked in. That is the tendency of a seer. Are you a seer?
Yeah.
She is. And so here's another thing this may mean for you personally. Lori is a seer in a very unusual way. A seer actually sees in the spirit realm when God, I don't think it's all the time, right, but it's as God reveals. And I don't know if you want to share about this, but one of Lori's major gifts is that she is a watchman, and so she was sent into our ministry, I believe, to guard.
Amen.
And to see. And sometimes I would have a sense about someone was being dangerous, but it was a sense, maybe a word of knowledge, and I would pray into it, and then Lori would call and say, you know, I don't mean to get in your business, but I saw this. And I'd be like, thank you. And so she is a watchman and a seer, and I believe the keys may also be in. And she pointed out that Amber did not see it. You saw it. Or you saw her. So just another thought. How I would take that is I would not miss the afternoon session.
That's really good.
Can I say one thing? When Lori walked in, I don't know Lori, but I recognized it was Lori because
of her hair.
And I did not feel afraid. But I remember telling Amber when we got there that I thought it was really weird that there was no keys, and I'm a stickler for locking doors at night.
Yeah.
And so there was no fear at all when she walked in. She walked in with great authority.
That's good.
And I felt secure.
Right.
I thought it was weird that it was at night, but there was no fear.
That's really good. Okay, Ellen.
I'm a rule follower, and I've been troubled because we didn't do number two. We didn't ask God for help.
Oh.
And I've been sitting here asking God for help.
Oh, yeah, I was too.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. But I'm concerned. My question is, as I've been asking God for help, what came to me is, does Millie need to have some time with Lori? I mean, we know Lori has a key, but she hasn't heard the key yet.
Right, right.
So does she need to converse with Lori? Does Lori have an answer? I mean, there's something that Lori has from her, right, through a teaching or
right,
through a word.
Yes. And so, yeah, the afternoon session. Right. And so, obviously, we are all praying here. We are 24/7 prayer meeting, right? And so even if you're not saying it out loud, because if you're in a workplace or something and you start saying, oh, Jesus, you're going to lose them. right? So you know you're a 24/7 prayer meeting. I'm listening to the Lord, and you don't have to necessarily stop and bow your head, but you know you are praying and you are seeking the Lord in your heart, and you know the Lord's going to drop in things that maybe you didn't stop and pray for, but because you've already been invested in prayer, it's coming. And that's the key. It's more about what we invest in prayer outside or on our own in the quiet time, right? In the quiet place. It's more about that than it is about stopping and being and specifically asking. You're just, you know, in your heart. Oh, you know, you don't, you know, you're in tune. You're asking the Lord and he's giving you. I always need a double mic. It's just my nature. That's very prophetic. Some of y'all need double mics. Did you have another thought? Oh, praising the Lord.
We asked for help. Okay,
help.
I just want to say one other thing. So with dreams, too, you can have so layers. So don't limit.
No, don't limit.
It can be personal.
Yes.
And it can be corporate. Yeah. And you know, this dream or whatever, night vision, actually can speak for years to come.
That's right.
It doesn't mean it's like, oh, it's here now, right now.
Right.
You know, we don't limit. Do not limit any of that. Because I have dreams, and I still think of one Linda had years ago that I still think about that was a healing dream that she had, that Jesus came, because she was hurting.
Right.
And Jesus came and encountered her. Now, I believe that was a real, I mean, even that last night, because it feels so real. It is real.
It is real.
It is real.
It's more
really
real.
It really happened.
Yeah.
It really happened. It's really happening.
Yes,
you know,
amen.
And that really happened to Linda, and it healed her heart, literally healed her. So, so these things, you know, we don't say if we don't get, and, you know, it, with interpretation, if you don't get it that night or that next day or even that next week, get it in the next years, because I have dreams 10 years ago that I go, whoa, this is now.
Yeah.
You know? So, think about it. How long, they prophesied, you know, Daniel prophesied how many years before? Isaiah prophesied 400 years before? I mean, it's like, this is not any time compared to that.
That's right.
So, that's what I want to say is just, remember these dreams, write them down.
Yes.
And
so important.
And, you know, date them if you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's important.
It's extremely
important. And go back, because you'll be shocked in years that you will, oh, wow. You know, we were listening. This is so key, too, about the word. Mm-hmm. We were listening to the word on the way up, and it just happened to be in Proverbs, because I was in Proverbs in my reading anyway. And so it came up on my phone. Linda knows how to use my car. I don't know how to use it, but I was like, how did you get it in that? You know, come out of the speakers. So we were in Proverbs and I was listening to it and I was thinking, all you have to do to interpret a dream is listen to Proverbs.
It's so true. Oh,
it is. I mean, because there's, you know, they use so many, when you, you know, there's so much wisdom in Proverbs, but you know how they, I can't remember the scripture it was. We were towards like 28 or something. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, all you'd have to do to really understand dreams is listen to the word.
The word of God. I agree.
Yeah. Because God speaks that way.
That's right.
And so when you listen to it, it's funny. I had dreams coming into my mind as I was, and they're not all mine because I listened to a lot of dreams.
Right.
But I had dreams coming into my mind as I was listening to Proverbs. This is awesome.
Yeah. So let's pray that you're going to get the keys that you need.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it corporately, because if you want keys, stand up and let's just put our hands, all right? Okay. I'm going to hand that to y'all. Or do you have somewhere you want me to put it? Okay. And Lori? Oh, Lori just stepped out. Okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to stand in for Lori. So, Father, we just thank you right now for our dear sister, Millie. We thank you, Father, for this incredible dream that you gave her last night. We give you glory and praise and honor. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her keys, and we give you praise that they are going to operate in victory and, what was the other word, honor. Victory and honor. These keys are going to actually bring victory and honor to you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Anything else on that? Lord, we just say corporately right now, we take the keys. We just pull down the keys. We just say, we want the keys. We ask for the keys. We thank you, Lord. We all need keys to unlock our heart, to unlock the things that have been locked up in us that can't come out and we can't move forward because something is locked. So, Father, we can't go through an open door because it's been locked. So, Father, right now we ask for the keys.
Yes.
We agree with heaven. We say, you sent an emissary from heaven, Lord, to show us that we need keys, that we can't do this on our own. We need what we're going to gain from this place. And we thank you right now that you're giving them to all of us corporately in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, and we give you glory and praise. Lori, you want to come and lay hands specifically on her? Just bless her however you want to. And Janet has the mic. Since you were in the dream. Okay, no, I didn't mean say anything. I just meant pray, just because we just say yes. You showed up in the dream.
Yeah.
So we know if somebody shows up, they have the juice. Yeah, yeah. So thank you, Lord. We give you praise and honor. We just thank you, God, for Lori. We thank you for the huge gift that she carries and that she does have keys. We just give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for all of us. Thank you, Lord. I had a dream. You can sit down. I had a dream about keys. I dreamed I was at Activation. You'll laugh about this, Millie, because we all know where Activation was. The church was called Activation. I dreamed I was in the parking lot of my church where I was, but the ladies from Activation showed up in the parking lot, which they come to our meetings, and we go to their meetings. Now, she came down. There was a group of ladies from up there had come down, Activation, and they were handing me the keys to the office. Now, this is why it is important to write down your dreams. This is why it's so important to date your dream and not necessarily write down the interpretation for the dream. Do it in another place because you don't want that to always flavor your old interpretation. You don't want it to flavor if the Lord is doing something new, okay? So, because I've learned that. I've interpreted a dream, and then it flavors whatever I think about that dream, and so I keep separate. So, I probably had that dream now 6 or 7 years ago. I opened up my dream book in a journal, and when I woke up from the dream, I was like, Lord, I don't want the keys to the office.
Of that church.
Yeah. What would I do with those? I open up my dream journal and I read that. And actually, their name changed to a different church. But the Lord knew, who knew I would key in and remember Activation, which is Activation in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what that represented. So I open up and I read that dream and I'm like, oh my Lord, I've interpreted this wrong for 5 years. The Lord was trying to hand me the keys to activating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And yes, I did want them. To the office. I mean, it was actually to the office. Think about that. So I was like, oh, Jesus, I repent right now. Yes, I want the keys. So, you know what? The Lord speaks clearly. We mess it up. Okay? Right? We all miss it. We all miss it. And he's so good to forgive us. And 5 years later, I go, duh. Yes, please, right, repent. Okay, where do we want to go? Do we have another dream? Let's do another dream. Yes, Bruce, come on.
I want to kind of flip it a little. I've gotten where I'm afraid to sleep at night because... sleep actually takes my strength, and I can't wait to get up. And usually when I wake up from a dream, it's with panic and fear and insecurity.
Okay.
And I'm depleted before the day even starts.
Okay.
An example of one of them was last night. We planted a church and a home, and this lady and her husband actually came to the first service. We didn't even know. So they've been with us forever. But in this dream, we were hauling something heavy across the field. And the field was real muddy. And I grabbed this lady's vehicle and hooked it up and just got across that field.
Hooked it up to what?
Well, whatever we was pulling. Hooked up to her car.
Okay.
Her car. And when I got over there, she was just furious that we had used her car. And she angrily got in the car and left. And I remember the car was going down the road and things were clanking and dragging that I had broke her car doing it. Mm-hmm. And then her husband was a peacemaker because she was real critical. And he came and was trying to make peace. And she had brought up, because of this, she had started bringing up all kinds of stuff. Like, I broke her car and it reminded her that I've done this, and this. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, I didn't, in her mind, the church needed ministry. And she thought that I didn't do it. And actually, she didn't know I had done it. Mm-hmm. But her husband was trying to, they had always been with us from day one. And then last night, probably the most important thing that happened to me is at the end of that song, Friend Forever, It just went, whoom.
That really went in your heart. Okay, whoom. So let's go back to, that's really good.
Wait a second.
Oh, is that the end of the dream? Okay, mm-hmm. No, okay.
And then she, but anyway, I've always been able to talk to this person in the past. Okay. There was no talking. Her face was contorting.
Okay, in the dream. Okay.
Mm-hmm. When I was trying to explain what I did.
Right.
And her husband tried to be the peacemaker.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness, this is so good.
And then her face was just contorting.
Uh-huh.
And then she just marched out to the car.
Uh-huh.
And her husband looked at me like, I'm sorry, she's my wife.
Oh, that's...
And then I was like, I lost another one.
Okay.
And I woke up just...
You are going to get set free from this. You got some deliverance coming.
Dreams are from God. And I was like,
how can that be? Yes. Stand up. And I'm going to move you forward just a little bit because I feel like we're too far back. We put your chair back too far. It's our fault. So I apologize. Okay. Now, you're going to get deliverance from this because your dream is going to, the Lord is going to show you something. Do I have the scripture on there that says what Jeremiah said, you wake me and shake me? Go forward just a little bit because it's, what about nightmares? We'll just go right into that. Then you, Job 7:14, frighten me with dreams and terrify me through visions. But Job's hearing from God. You frighten me with dreams. Remember, to warn us, to change our plans, keep us from making a bad decision, and keep us from an early death. Okay, so let's repeat the dream. There's so much deliverance in this dream, I can't even stand it. Okay, I'll try. You know what? I'm fighting a headache. Is anybody else in here fighting a headache? You? I know, I just drank a whole thing. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we command the headache. Oh, my, it just went. Mine just went. In the name of Jesus, did you put your hand on your head, hon? Put your hand on your head. We just command the dream to go, the headache to go. Now keep the dream, the headache to go in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And sometimes a religious spirit will show up with a headache. So, and that is actually what he's warring against, is a religious spirit. So, and you're going to see some deliverance in that. That just that dream is so revealing what the Lord is going to do. Those people that showed up in your dream are not demonic, okay? So we won't even put their names in. But we're going to know who accuses you before the Father. Satan. It wasn't that woman. But here's what the church does. The church is a woman, shows up as a woman many times. Mother church, right? Mother, we call the mother church, the church in general. The church that is in mother-in-law, the church that is in legalism, and it's the religious institution. Those are the things where the religious spirit, and if you always feel like you're going to be in trouble, that's the religious spirit. And Holly, do you have a word before I get started? Okay, okay. She's your good covering. So this is a powerful, powerful dream where you're, and I felt the anointing hit right in the smack when you started to talk, because I deal more with the religious church. I think I deal with it a ton because I'm trying to teach children how to catch hold of the things of the Spirit. And you were trying to say, wait a minute, we're ministering. And when you're ministering with the things of the Spirit, the religious church gets really offended by that. And they they're demonic.
Pulling a car out of mud. A car can represent somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And you are pulling it out of the mud
out
of the stuff. And, you know, that's your ministry.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, you're doing it. But then that spirit, that religious comes and condemns and accuses you of doing, you know, breaking it, making it worse. You know, sometimes the Lord has to break us for us to surrender.
Right.
And you're the hand of the Lord pulling them out. You know, God's using your life and your ministry as pulling them out of the mud. But then that spirit comes.
Mm-hmm. To accuse you.
And it's interesting that it contorted and stuff because it just underlines, you know, this is that.
That's that demon.
That demon spirit.
Yeah. The religious spirit shows as a good spirit. In fact, one day I was, the Lord just out of the blue said, Stephanie, the religious spirit is a demon. And I went, oh, yeah, I had forgotten. Because we say religious spirit, both those things that could sound good, you know. But religious is, no, it's in law, it's in legalism, it's not into the things of the Holy Spirit. It's into the doing, it's into the works, flesh works. Okay, so let's start at the beginning, we'll tell the dream. Now I forgot the dream. Okay, so in...
He has a little correction.
Okay. Oh, you have a mic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was using her card to pull something out. And she didn't like it.
Right.
So I used her car, and what I did to make it happen broke her car.
Broke her car, which is the church. So, yeah. So typical ministry is broken, and it doesn't know it, right? Because they're not using the things of the Holy Spirit. They're doing things themselves. But when somebody comes in with the gifts of the Spirit, they go, don't break my car. Don't break my church. Because you're using the things of God. You wait on the Holy Spirit. And the church in general does not like that. If I go into a church, I say, do you speak in tongues on the mic in your church? That's the first question I ask. And if they don't, I know just about how far our fire camp will go and it will stop. Because I can't use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to their full extent. And there's many churches that are like that. But I have a feeling that your church is not like that. Okay, your ministry in general is not like that. You're going to listen to the Lord. Okay, so let's start at the beginning of your dream. And I believe this is actually going to set free many people in here, especially if you are a minister. And if you've been dealing with a religious spirit, this is going to set you free completely. Because you're going to be able to identify the religious spirit much faster now. Whenever I feel like I'm going to get in trouble, which you were, she was pointing at you. Whenever you feel like you're going to get in trouble, I can go into a place and feel like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
I know immediately, I sense the religious spirit's hanging around here. And he's going to point his finger at me. He's going to accuse me.
Yeah.
Right?
And the face contorts.
And the face contorts.
Yeah.
That, because it is demonic. Okay. Yes. Yes. Oh, no.
Or is that coming at us?
It's coming at you.
Where we are.
It's coming at
you. And who we're with.
Yeah. It may not be who, but it's in operation around. Many times it's just waiting for a person to participate with it.
Okay.
You know, a religious spirit's a demon. It has to have somebody to participate with.
Yes.
And I say, I will not participate with a religious spirit. And he knows that. I had a dream one time. My mother-in-law did not like my perfume. And I woke up with this spirit, like this feeling of offense. I was offended because my mother-in-law didn't like my perfume. Well, the religious church doesn't like the fragrance of the Lord that's around me. Right? Doesn't like this perfume, the Spirit of the Lord.
I just remember something real big. It was when they were accusing that I wasn't taking care of a ministry, ministering to someone that they'd ministered to. And I was like, well, I did. You just don't know it. But then they said, you don't pray and you don't preach the truth anymore.
Okay. How many of you have had that happen to you? The devil has come to you and said, you don't pray enough. Somebody dies, you go, I didn't pray enough. Oh my goodness, I didn't pray enough. Who does that? Does Jesus do that to you? Never. Does Jesus say you're not doing ministry right? Never. He just gently corrects us in the most loving, gentle way, right?
And I remember saying, I do too pray.
Right.
I pray now more than ever.
Right.
And
because the devil's a liar.
Right.
And you don't do it like Jesus.
Right. Right. Well, that's the devil. And it was represented by somebody you know. It wasn't that person. We just have to know that. We want to separate it from the person. It was the person that was playing. I look at a dream a lot of times as this person is playing the part on a stage, and I recognize them by characteristics or what they look like. But I always have to say, okay, it's not that person many times. So I can still love this person, but get the message from the Lord, okay? All right, because we want to love people, but we want to get the message from heaven. Okay? How do you just teach?
Parables.
A dream is a night parable. It's just a night story. The Lord's showing you the storyline in the dream. Okay, can somebody repeat the dream? Janet, can you repeat the dream? Does somebody else in here want to? Amber could repeat the dream. Okay, let's let Amber do it. This is so important because when we repeat the dream, we get questions, right?
Okay, so you were pulling something heavy across the field.
Yeah, like a football.
Okay, so a large field, and it's muddy, and you needed something to help you pull that, whatever it was, heavy across the field. So you used this individual's vehicle to hook up to this heavy object and draw it across the field. And it was a car, so you used a car. So it was specifically a car, not a truck, but it was a car. Okay. So you're pulling it across, you get it across, and then she becomes upset that you've used her vehicle. You've used her car, but you've got this heavy object across the field. Okay. So then she gets in her car, she's upset, and she starts to drive away. You notice it's clanking, it's making noises, things might be rattling or falling off. The muffler's down, so this vehicle is now kind of looking beat up. Yeah. So then you... she comes at you accusing or is upset and her face is contorting.
She goes and tells her husband.
Okay, so she brings her husband with her. Okay, so he's trying to bridge this between you two, but she's really upset and he decides he's going to side with her. That this is my wife and I need to side with her. Okay. And that's when you woke up?
Okay, so who?
So what are the emotions when you woke up at that moment when you woke up? Physically after you woke up from this dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, to be honest with you, I went outside.
Use your mic,
please.
My wife said no, she's really smart.
So you went outside to do what?
My wife said don't say it.
Oh, don't say the dream. Yes, your wife is really smart. We love her. But in this case, this is going to help a lot of us get set free. Yeah, it's really powerful.
Yeah.
And if there's something in a dream that you don't want to share out loud, please know it's okay, okay? And you can talk to us separately later. We'll do it, okay? Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, very good. Okay, so the car, you're in a field. Okay, so we are in a field right now. We are in a harvest field. And that is white unto harvest. But sometimes a field just looks like a football field or looks like any other field, okay? He's dragging something very hard. And I actually feel like you're going to get set free from dragging something. It's not going to be hard anymore. It's going to be easy. So you're dragging something that's been very hard across this field, and it's just muddy, and you're just dragged. I know how it is when you're dragging something that's digging down into the dirt, and it's impossible.
Oh, you just had a revelation. Okay.
The car's me. I could not pull the load. The car should not have pulled it, been able to pull the load. And then it broke trying to.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, let's go with the dream.
Because the car was hers, but that person can be the church.
Right.
That woman representing the church.
And it can be the church's reputation as the car mm-hmm. is the reputation. That's what I was thinking, was the car's reputation.
And it could be, the ministry. Yeah. And you are dragging.
Yeah. You're going to break my reputation is what, that devil would love to say, you're making the church look really bad because you are so, you are actually moving and operating in the gifts of the Spirit. You're just working and doing what the Lord tells you to do. You are doing ministry like the Lord has shown you to do. But he loves to accuse us and put us in a place of fear so we'll stop, right? He wants to shut you down. I'll tell you what, whenever the devil wants to shut you down, that means you have tremendous potential in the harvest field. This harvest coming is yours.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just feel like there's a lot of, that the Lord wants to give you a lot of strategy through your dreams.
Yeah.
And that actually you're seeing, how you discern the Spirit. When you actually, I feel like the Lord is going to give you real impartation of understanding the Spirit. You know, I have a lot of dreams like this where it feels really bad. Like I go into different churches or whatever, and I always have these nightmares. Well, they feel like nightmares because I'll see the spirits that are operating until I understood dreams. I didn't know why I would see what I saw. But the Lord was teaching me how to discern what I was seeing. Now I can see, and I go, oh, that's that spirit.
Right.
That's that spirit because I felt like a freak with these dreams, because I hear dreams like, little Millie's, and I'm like, why don't I have those kind of dreams?
Right.
right? Don't you feel? But I've learned to appreciate and actually, because it's been almost like a gifting now to me, where I can see what is operating and trying to stop the move of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So that I can pray, because God's given us authority. Because if he's going to show you in a dream the operating spirits that are hindering his spirit, he is going to give you also the authority to take that in prayer and conquer that.
Amen. Amen.
So I've learned to appreciate my dreams and be able to use them for... you guys, this is what I see happening that wants to stop what God is about to do.
Uh-huh.
So it's really powerful. They're really powerful dreams.
Yes.
And I feel that's going to be imparted to you so you understand these dreams, because you're actually getting strategy from heaven.
That's right. That's right. Many times terrifying dreams will give us strategy.
Oh, wait,
and that's why we have to be so careful. So I do want to say... this also, I think, is going to be such a transition in your life, Bruce, that you are going... I used to participate with the spirit of fear all the time. I just did. I didn't know any different. I was a white-knuckle driver. I was terrified as a child coming up. I didn't have a bad childhood. I should have had no spirit of fear. I had a spirit of fear like nobody's business. I was in a pastor's home, but I was terrified. I wouldn't get out of my bed after a certain time because I knew there was something under my bed. So, and I would sweat to sleep. That's how terrified I was, always. But I participated with fear, right? Instead of participating with love, power, and sound mind. And so when I realized what I was doing, it took years, but we're going to do this today. When you operate and when you participate with the spirit of fear, it will overtake you and it will take you down. It will yank you down. It will say, and it will accuse you. Oh, well, maybe I didn't pray enough. This is for all of us. It will accuse you. It will say you did this. You didn't do that. You did, and we can either participate with that and let it drag us down, or we can participate with love, power, and sound mind. A sound mind. Think about it. A sound mind. I want to participate with that. I want to participate with love and power to defeat the enemy who's going to bring you the heart, or the we're going to defeat the enemy so the harvest can come in. So we want that, and that's in 2 Timothy 1:7. So that may become your favorite scripture for while you're in this time where the deliverance is going to happen immediate, that you're going to learn, wait a minute, that spirit of fear wants to come back. And I can either choose to participate with that spirit of fear, I can bow down to spirit of fear, or I can stand strong and say, no, I participate with love, who casts out love, this is love, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So power and sound mind. So yeah, that's what your dream is going to do for you, but also it's going to give you more keys in how you are going to see the harvest come in your particular church and in your particular ministry. So where were we in the dream? We were dragging something very hard. A car can be ministry, and it was very hard. You hooked it up, but you felt like you broke. It felt like it broke it. But the accuser came and really began to accuse you. You broke my car, blah 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 blah. Right? Okay. And he's a liar. We know who he is. You can identify him immediately because of what he does. He's a liar. Okay. And so, what was next? Then somebody came. No. Husband came. Who's the who's our husband?
Jesus.
Okay. He was trying to be a peacemaker. Okay, and he said, "This is my bride." I'm sorry, but this is my bride. And I will tell you that the church is broken in so many ways. That's right. Yeah.
With a religious spirit, right? There's a demon operating through them.
Right.
He's trying to make peace. He's probably trying to talk sense to her. She's not getting
it. She's not getting
it. And he looks at you and says, I'm sorry, this is my wife.
Yeah. So Jesus,
I love her, but she's not there yet.
So Jesus sent you a message straight from him.
And I feel like he's saying, he's saying, good job.
Yeah.
And the enemy is afraid. And I feel like the heavy weight is the weight that so easily besets us. Like you, you've worked for years to clear the field because there's a promise of God. I don't know how God has talked to you, but last night even I felt like God has promised you some things about the harvest. Uh-huh. It's massive, and the enemy has pulled out. He's like tried every trick he knows to get you to quit, but it's that contorted face devil,
right?
You know,
yeah. And there's going to be
deliverance. So right on. I feel the same thing.
Yeah.
I felt so strongly of his trust
that
he has for you.
Yeah,
and he's like he's opening up a secret to you. He wants to open up this secret to you that he sees and he grieves. And even that heaviness you feel, I feel like the Lord is like allowing you to feel what he feels.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that's how Jeremiah felt.
Yeah. The weeping prophet.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, that's all I want to say is I just sense by the Spirit of the Lord how much he trusts you.
Yeah. It's true. I also want to say that when we have an emotional dream where we wake up and we're actually physically having a panic attack, you're feeling this emotion of offense, fear, all of those things, the Lord, there are times when the Lord does allow us to feel those things, so we'll actually attach and we'll remember the dream and we'll actually get the message. You know, I can have a dream, not have any emotion attached, wake up and know I had a really good dream, but the dream is gone.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing in it that compelled me to really catch it because I didn't wake up and write it down because I didn't have an emotion. So some of you will have a spirit, or not a spirit of fear. There's a difference. A spirit of fear is a demon, right? But we know we can have the fear of the Lord. I'm afraid of running and jumping out in the front of traffic. We can have a good fear, right? You can have a fear that keeps you from making a bad decision or a reckless choice. That's a good fear, right? Keeps you from an early death. So we want to stay in the place of this true emotion of fear, what the Lord has given us naturally, but we want to be able to discern. We want to have the spirit of discernment so we know when there's a spirit of fear, which is the demon of fear involved, right? Because the demon just wants to accuse you, and you'll know by the characteristics if he's just there shaking his head at you. But I believe, because you said this is affecting you all the time, I believe that there is, because you're here, happened to be here today, the Lord knew this, and the Lord's like, I'm going to deliver him from the spirit of fear ever torment, because our dreams are not to torment us. And now children will have nightmares, night terrors, they call them, right? That child is probably picking up on something that's in the area because they usually haven't had that many experiences. So we need to know when's authority over that thing and command it to go through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. It has to go. You don't say, I rebuke you, because none of us have enough rebuke in us or scolding. What rebuke is this scolding? So just think about standing there. I scold you. No, command that thing to go. It can't stay. You're a child of the Most High God. This is your place. This is what the Lord has given you authority over. It can't be in your home. You command it to go, okay? I think rebuke has been used a lot, and rebuke is kind of a weird thing. It's only used one in the Bible. I just don't ever use it because my scold is not good. And the angel used it and said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, the Lord's rebuke is good. So you can use that one. The Lord rebuke you. But I'm going to tell you to go in Jesus' name. In fact, sometimes I say, you go and the Lord is going to deal with you because you're continuing to hound me. You're continuing to pester me. And I said, no, you can't. And the Lord needs to deal with you because I can't. You know, I'm not doing it anymore. You can't be around me. Okay, yes.
The church could have helped him carry his load, and the church refused. And there's a lot of ministries. God wants ministries to grow from all of us. And we're judgmental and accusatory.
Instead.
So, Lord, we repent for
yes.
the church.
Yes.
We repent
ki.
For religious spirit,
yes.
Father,
yes.
that would keep ministries from growing
That's
up
right.
from envious spirits.
That's
would
right.
keep other ministries from growing.
That's right.
And, Father, we just
That's
decree
right.
help from your throne room, Lord, for this ministry to
Thank
carry
you,
the load.
That's right. We repent. You know, one time I had somebody come to me and say they were planting a church. And something kind of, you know, I was like, what? Because, I'm like, why isn't my church full and you're planting another church? And this was when I was very young, so I in the Lord. So I just didn't know. I didn't understand it. But here's what they said to set me free. They said, you know, they could plant 1,000 churches in our little town of Golden and not everybody would be churched yet. We got to remember that. It's not about our church, our ministry. It is about the greater church, the kingdom of heaven. And if we don't start building that thing, we are nobody. In fact, the Lord told me when he took me out of one church, he said, Stephanie, no more kingdom building. You may not build anybody else's kingdom. Stop. And I went, ugh. And so I was not churched for 5 years because of that, because I had to learn what his kingdom mentality for the church truly was. All right, so we need to pray. So, okay, Janet, Jim, does Jim have a thought? Okay.
I think both of those dreams are connected, the first dream
the
and the second dream.
Okay.
And the fact that the Holy Spirit walks in with a bunch of keys.
Right.
Right? We often don't think in terms of kingdom like we need to. Mm-hmm. The first dream was the keys. The second dream was the challenge that we face commonly.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's really
that
good.
Everybody's here not by happenstance.
Right.
This could be a remnant of a remnant that is given special keys throughout this time mm-hmm. to operate in a unique way that we've never operated
Amen.
Before.
Amen.
So I think that dream one was tangentially connected to dream two.
Yeah, that's good.
And that there's going to be a bunch of keys,
yeah.
and that we have to be open to our hand, has to be open to these keys.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of discharge your previous thinking on how you operated, because this is new, and the Lord's going to deliver some newness.
Here. Amen. So. Amen. That's good, Jim. That's
can
really
I share
good.
Can I share a dream? Because I feel like it has to do with this same spirit that we're talking about. I think I told you this dream, but it's short. So I had a dream that I was in President Trump's house, and I was sitting across the table. It was a wooden table, and I was sitting across from him, and he was reading my cell phone. He was just reading it. And I was just watching him read it, and all of a sudden, Melania walks into the room. But Melania was, even her name means dark. In the Song of Solomon, the church is the woman, the dark woman. But she began to sing.
That lovely. She's dark but lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She began to sing, and when she sang, the atmosphere changed. And I was like, wait, did you know she sang like that? You know? And so that because the atmosphere changed so drastically, it was like, I was like, there's something. I mean, it was like I was in the heavens, you know.
Yeah.
If you could be in heaven with the worship, and we can be. We just go. I think I was there.
Why did they tell us not to? They told us the church not to sing.
Yeah.
Because we changed the atmosphere. Yeah.
So then the dream shifts, and I go into their spa. They have a spa, and it's like a big hot tub whirlpool thing right there. And I see my friend Sarah sitting on the side of the hot tub with her legs in the. And then Melania came back into the room, and I realized I hadn't, you know, told her Sarah was there. I invited Sarah. And so I said, Sarah, this is Melania. Melania, this is Sarah. Introduced them. And all of a sudden, I see Sarah had brought in all of her family. And I was like, wait. You didn't ask Melania if you could bring all of these people in. And I knew it was so important to ask Melania. So, and in the they were in brackets, these people. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to understand the brackets still. But see, they're coming in. So they were still hidden over there. Melania couldn't see them. But I knew Sarah. Now in the natural, my friend works for she ministers with this ministry called Set Them Free they set trafficking victims free. So it in the natural, and they were all dysfunctional. The people that were coming in it was her family, and they were really dysfunctional. Here's the thing. The Lord showed me it was Melania represents the church and the voice of the church and the voice
and the
of that worship, the song of the song. But are we ready?
Yeah. Janet, brackets are, if you follow the Q movement.
That's what I knew they were the Q.
Brackets are, that is to come.
Yeah.
What's in the brackets.
What's in the brackets, yeah, and. Yeah, so
it's on the way.
Yeah, it's on the way. Now that's what's on the way, because we have to be prepared.
That's right.
And the
that's
Lord
right.
is asking, are we ready to receive who's coming
ready?
In?
Uh-huh.
And we have to be ready to receive who's coming in.
That's
and
right.
not, you know, with the religious spirit, not mm-hmm. with the judgmental, mm-hmm. not with the. And I mean, you know, I think the Lord is really preparing us all
mm-hmm.
for this. You know, the harvest mm-hmm. that is coming.
And I want to say it's not going to be hard. It's going to be, we take on the work of the Lord, and it becomes so easy. We just,
right.
It's going to
and you know,
easy.
And here's the thing, you know, but what really struck me in that dream was how the Lord was asking, can I bring them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was so worried about Melania's answer.
Mm-hmm.
which concerned me, because we as the church have to be ready, I mean, and willing to take in, you know, because we see them all. You know, I love the jail ministry because you know, you get to see those people that God loves so much and feel the love of the Lord for them, because you can feel that in that place, because Jesus doesn't judge. We can look at all the tattoos and the all the piercings and all the holes and all the whatever.
Changing
everything.
Sex, the transgender. Everything.
Oh, my gosh, I fell
We're
going to
have that. They're going to come in. They're coming in. We got to be ready to look him in the eye and say, Jesus loves you just like you are. So we just have to love them in. Holy Spirit cleans them up.
But
Holy Spirit does the
and
job.
And so
we
I
don't
think God is dealing with that. The reason I wanted to tell that dream is because I really feel like the Lord is dealing with the spirits in the church that we have to get, you know, and it is us as leaders that we pray in those, so those spirits cannot hinder what God is doing in the harvest.
Amen. Okay, did any of this minister to you? Did you feel encouragement, edification, comfort? Okay. Clarity.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so what I'd like to do is, Holly, because he asked you to pray, I would like to have you pray over him, and just, and we're just going to declare the truth over him, and we're just going to see deliverance. I know that I have the authority to command the spirit of fear to go, so I'm going to command the spirit of fear to go, but I want Holly to start.
Yeah.
And you want to lay hands on him?
Well, before I pray, I just reminding me of the fact that you know, Moses and Aaron went through this exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a new thing. This is
no.
as old as the hills. It's gone with every Holy Ghost ministry. People don't always talk about it, but every true ministry of God has faced the onslaught of people who say,
yeah.
oh, you didn't do it my way. I want that position. Why is he in that
That's
position?
Right. That's right.
Don't mess up my car.
Right.
And so there's two parts of this. One is not to be afraid, but to, like, for me, my whole life changed when God showed me this is part of the package.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sign up for persecution.
Right.
I didn't sign up for this. So what do you mean you're yelling at me and you're angry and your face is contorted?
Right.
And when God said, no, Holly, you know, if they did it to the master, they'll do it to the pupil.
That's
this is who we are.
That's right.
People will be angry. It's part of the deal. And I said, then I repent.
Right.
Father, I'm sorry. This is part of the deal. Some people won't like me. Okay, I'm just going to do what God says. And so part of our thing is, I really believe God not only wants you totally free and knowing, not just these dreams are from him, but that your calling, I feel like God is just, he is so pleased. You know, he loves you
absolutely.
And he has raised you up. You
absolutely.
Have such, you have a rare gift.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know it, but you really have a gift that I don't get to see very often.
Yeah.
And so Satan is a nervous Nelly. He's worried.
Yeah.
And so part of it is to get over, you know, get rid of the fear, which we want to get rid of. But part of it is you don't have to respond to people with contorted faces. You know, they had those faces when they were crucifying Jesus.
That's right.
And while they're doing it, he was like, he already knew that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like, you know what, Lord, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
I'm going to pray for them anyway, and I'm going to go on and do what I'm supposed to do, and
that's
they're
right.
not going to stop me.
That's right.
And that's what I feel like God.
Amen.
Yeah. And so.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Can I say, too, that the joy of the Lord is your strength? And so I had somebody come after me one time, and they were contorted. Yeah. And I got to laughing so hard, and I was trying not to laugh, but it was the joy of the Lord, and I was just like, oh my goodness, she thinks I'm laughing at her, but I'm really not. I'm just operating in the joy of the Spirit, you know? But you remember that. In the back of our minds, that's who we participate with, is the joy of the Lord is our strength. And honest to goodness, I can't tell you one thing that woman said, because it all just went off. Because I was operating with the joy of the Spirit. I wasn't participating with whatever she was dealing with. I wasn't going to participate with that demon. I was just going to participate with the joy. Okay.
So this is a little unusual, but I'm actually going to have you make a proclamation rather than me praying for you.
Amen.
I'm going to have you both say this. We are called of God.
Yeah, say it out loud. Oh, my goodness. That's good. Oh! Let's pray. Come on, church. Come on, we're going to lift him up.
So I'm going to have you say, we are called of God.
We are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, glory.
Now, you have a confession I heard you say.
Amen.
And I'd like you to say it. You said you are an apostle of God. I want you to say it. It is true by the Spirit of God.
I am called to be an apostle.
Yes.
Called to preach the gospel of grace.
Now we're going to say him as a church.
Yes.
We the church.
Receive you.
As called of God. An apostle of God. Who preaches by the power of the Spirit.
The grace of God.
The grace of God. And we stand with you. We know you are called. We respect that calling. And we know that anything that comes against it is of the enemy. And we agree together. We command every form of fear to go. Every root of rejection to come out and leave. In Jesus' name. We receive you for who you are. A man of God. Father, we ask you to heal every wound, every scar. We act through his entire life, Father, and we lift before you any word that has been spoken against him, to him, about him, or even by him. And if it did not line up with your will and your purpose, Father, we pour the blood of Jesus on it. We render it null, void,
powerless and ineffective, and it cannot hold him in bondage. In Jesus' name, we release him this day from those words, from every word curse.
That's right.
We release him into the fullness of his calling. We ask you to build him up. We ask
That's
you to,
right.
to set him up, to
That's
build
right.
him up in strength,
build up.
And build him up in knowledge, wisdom, and revelation,
yes.
and in wholeness, in wholeness, in wholeness.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Kore baradan desi tinda boshakanda be. Ondra bashandra bundo soto tosore. Ondra babin. Ondra baban. Ondra bashindra betodo toso. I declare it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. It's over. Devil, you're exposed. You're a lion devil. I expose you for who you are. And no longer will you be able to use trickery and deceit and feel as though he did something wrong or as though God is not pleased. It's not true. We'll literally laugh in his face. He will so come into the knowledge of God on this matter, he will never believe the lie again. In Jesus' name. We just speak the perfect will of God be done and over the church.
Yes.
That the perfect will of God be
right.
on earth as it is in heaven.
Glory.
And Father, I see that there are those, just like in the rebellion of Korah,
yes.
that have tried to take seize.
Yes.
They've tried to seize position, but it's not theirs
yes.
to seize. And they don't have the calling and they don't have the
that's
anointing.
Right.
They're not the one that's called to do it. And so it's out of order. And just
right.
like in that day, Father, you will make it clear.
Yes.
You Aaron's rod will bud again
that's right.
in its way, Father. You will reveal who was called and
Thank
who is
you,
not
Lord.
Called.
Thank you,
this
Lord.
Is the man. I've seen it. This man mm-hmm. is a true shepherd. There are many
yes.
shepherds. Many. There's many, many hirelings.
Mm-hmm.
Many hirelings who are in it for the
That's
money
right.
or they're
That's
in it
right.
for self or they're in it for the accolades. But this man
yeah.
was raised up from birth
yes.
to be a true shepherd
yes.
who loves the sheep. He loves
yes.
the sheep. And I've seen it, Father. And so we will not hear any other proclamation except the one you've made
That's
over
right.
his life. And Father,
right.
I thank you. For Carmen, I thank you
yes.
for her wisdom
thank
that
you,
she
Lord.
Has had a grace and a wisdom and
thank
a knowledge of God. And Father, I thank you that you continue to speak through her mouth.
Yes.
That Father, you continue to speak the truth
yes.
through her and to
Lord,
help. She is a true helpmeet for him. And she helps
Lord,
him with the truth so many, many times. And he knows so many times it's the voice of the Lord
That's
speaking
right.
through her. And I thank you for them. They're so amazing. I thank you
thank
for
you.
Putting them in our lives in Jesus'
yes.
name.
Yes. Glory to God. Glory
amen
to God.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. We just bless them and we bless the work of their hands. We bless them, sir. We bless them. We thank you for this anointed couple. Man and woman of God, we thank you for them. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Okay.
You need to find time and be with them and tell them that. That's a good word. That's a good
word. I see things. The Lord shows me military applications all the time. What's that? What the enemy likes to do, he likes to take the leader of the patrol out because that leader leads a bunch of men. And when that leader's taken out, everybody that follows flounders.
That's right.
That attempt was just averted. That so what the Lord this man came here with a dream that maybe didn't know everything that was connected to it. But because it was interpreted and because it was dealt with,
right.
that attempt to take that patrol leader out
right.
was averted.
Averted. Amen.
That was averted.
Right.
Now, not only was it averted, but he's going to walk much stronger
yes.
in the Spirit, and he's going to take his flock in a place that the Lord is want him to take him, right? And he's going to go with a new boldness
Amen.
that it's never had before. So this, while this may have been just a dream interpretation, this was a big thing in the Spirit.
That's right.
The big thing. And,
Amen.
And a lot was done just now.
Amen. Do you see how important dreams are? You know, children will come to us and say, or some people will say, you know, I just had a pizza dream. No, we don't have pizza dreams. We have words from the Lord. And don't call it pizza or candy. Yeah.
So what I saw in the Spirit as we were praying is this is a Kairos moment for both of you. And it's a Kairos moment because it's an appointed moment in time that God has ordained this, not only for personal freedom, but because the calling and the breakthrough of the calling and that which he's called you to both do in the realm of the Spirit is going to affect the nation,
Amen.
The Lord says.
Amen.
And I see a fresh mantle coming down over both of you today to complete the work that God has called you to do. And the Lord says, even as Lori washed your feet, the Lord says, this is a new day. This is a new and fresh commissioning. It is an end time calling. It is a now
Amen.
Time for both
Amen.
Of you. Amen. You will affect the body. Amen. You will affect the kingdom. And you will bring many, many into the kingdom because of your obedience
Amen.
To the Lord in this
Amen.
Hour. And the Lord is saying, this fresh commissioning in the fresh mantle, there is nothing you will lack. There is nothing that you will lack.
Glory
there
God.
Is nothing in the realm of the Spirit that you will lack
Amen.
To fulfill the purpose that he has called you to.
Amen.
From this day forward until you stand before him
Amen.
And see his face and feel his arms around you, you will not lack for anything.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Oh, the Lord just gave me a word for this brother. And he said that he's going to be like Jeremiah. But Jeremiah, he said Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. But he said that Jeremiah didn't really want to go and preach the gospel. But he said he's going to give, he gave him this word. He said, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. That today has been your deliverance.
Amen.
And he said, you're going to walk before kings.
Glory.
You're people in high office.
That's right.
And you're going to give the word to those men of high office. And he said that he is sending his word before you, with you. He's putting the word in your mouth.
Yes.
That everything that comes out of your mouth is life.
Amen.
What you speak, it's life and death.
Amen.
So you choose your words
Amen.
Careful. And always choose from the Word of God
Amen.
Because this is what he's doing for you today. He's bringing you to the younger generation.
Yes.
Because we,
yes.
as the scripture was read this morning, he
yes.
said, us older ladies, the lady that was up there was an elderly lady, and then so am I. But we have been through so many trials and so many hardships, persecutions and everything. We walked through the fire and that fire did not burn us.
That's right.
Or discourage
Woo!
Us. We walked through hard places.
Amen.
This ground you are walking on right now is hard.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the
Amen.
Life. No man can come to the Holy Father except
right.
through Jesus. And that's who you preach is Jesus.
That's right.
Teach Jesus
Amen.
Everywhere because he's the one that's delivering you today.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
That's so good. Praise
oh,
the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory. Glory.
Who? Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo.
Glory. Okay, that was worth the price of admission right there. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. Okay, so that's what one dream can do. Two dreams can do. They were both powerful dreams. So, again, sorry. Again, I believe, too, we're gonna be people of valor. I just saw valor, strong-hearted. He's going to have new declarations instead of I'm in fear. Oh, what's this? I brought the placemat with me. But we are going to be people who are stout-hearted. The enemy, where he has terrified us before, he's not going to terrify us anymore. We are not going to stand for that. We have new declarations coming out of our mouth. Can I just say the Word of God is so important for us to get into right now? If we don't know the Word and speak the Word, say the Word. Listen, when Joseph had dreams, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, when they dreamed, they knew immediately what their dreams meant. When Joseph dreamed, everybody went, "You mean you're saying that this is going to happen? The mother and father, we're going to bow down to you?" Everybody knew what it meant. They knew immediately. Why? Because they knew the Word. They knew the law of God, because Adam walked with God. The Word of God was passed down through Adam. I believe this. I believe there were scrolls that are put together in the book of Genesis. And so they already knew. They had to have understanding and walking with the Spirit of God, because all interpretation comes from the Lord. So we are the ones that better get it. We're the church. Now, we can't just get it. We're going to read Daniel over here just before we stop. But I want to say that I carry these Bibles. This will not take battery out of your phone. This is so wonderful, because where it stops, it's an audio Bible. It's on the MP3 player. I only have it in Amplified and New King James Version, but I listen to it constantly. What's wonderful is that you turn it off and you turn it back on, it's on the same place. You don't have to start over or anything like that. You can back it up and listen to that again. Back it up, listen to that again. Memorize it. Back it up, listen again. The Word of God needs to be on our foreheads, in our hearts, on our hands. We're teaching it, saying it. We're speaking it, saying it, hearing it. I have journaling Bibles back there. Write it. Participate with the Word of God constantly, now more than ever in our lives. Not only us, our children. I had a woman come and just buy 10 of these. She said, "I'm giving them to my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren." So I'm telling you, this is such an excellent tool, and they're at a great price. If you want to learn dreams from a Hebrew perspective, this will teach you from a Hebrew understanding of the metaphors. Metaphors are just basically parable language, and it's from the Word of God. This will teach you from a metaphor. This is Q if you want to learn that. We love Q. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to tell you about was these. These are just prayer scarves. And you can just wave them before the Lord. You can wear them before the Lord. I also have tallit, same thing. You can do the same thing with them. But these are just, these will go with your clothes. And what else? Oh, we have the dream book, too.
Oh, yeah.
The dream book. Okay, and then let's look up Daniel 5. Look up Daniel 5:12 in your own Bible. This is the divinity code. We've never found another book that has a teaching like this. We learned from these guys about, I don't know, we started getting a hold of dreams, like in really getting a hold of dreams when we met them. Adrian Beale, Adam Thompson. They are tremendous men of God. If you're on Elijah list at all, Adam Thompson is on Elijah list quite often as one of the prophets that speaks into our nation today. He's powerful. Both of them are powerful men of God. They're personal friends. They're the real deal. We bring them in for conferences. Come to our conferences. They're so good. We take them across Colorado. But what they did was they prayed, asked the Lord for the metaphors that are in her. There's a metaphor dictionary like there is not another one like it. Every metaphor is tied to the Word of God. So they will tell you, don't go to the dictionary. Go to Holy Spirit. That's the truth. We want to go to the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I'm telling you, you're so stuck. So you get the book out. It'll tie you to the Word of God. You read the Word of God. You go, oh my goodness, there it is, right straight from heaven. So there, I don't know any other tool. This is one of the tools in our toolboxes. I've gone through, I don't know how many of these books. I don't know how many books we've distributed. Hundreds, if not thousands. They also have prophetic symbolism. This is their new one. It adds another 1,200, I think, definitions to this. So they're both worth getting. And let's read Daniel 5:12. Let's read it together. Let's read it out of the, I don't have my glasses. That's okay. You can read it out of whatever version and declare it over yourself. You know what? Turn in your Bibles. I tell you, it's so good to turn in your Bibles. Have your people start turning in your Bibles. I had pastors that were such word people. Oh my goodness. Daniel 5:12, and it taught me from a very young age. I'm reading through my Bible this year. I'm on number 45 right now. This is my 45th time through the Word of God. I want to get to 100 quickly, but I'm not getting there fast enough. But you can do it. If I could read my Bible through in a year with 6 children, you can do it. Sometimes you think you're never going to go to bed because that last child will not go to sleep, so you can read your Bible. But I'm telling you, you can do it. Get the Word of God in your heart like never before. All right, I just have tools for that. I love journaling. I think it's such a powerful tool. Okay, 12, Daniel 5. I don't even have it marked in my Bible. Isn't that amazing? This is a newer Bible, too. Daniel 5. Okay, let's start at, including in as much an excellent spirit. Let's start at, no, that is 12. Yeah. In as much as an excellent spirit of knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas. An enigma is a problem that you've had forever. Like, let's look at the country of India. Whenever you go into India, they have a water issue. You can't drink the water in India, right? That's an enigma. And there is a solution, but God has it, and they have to turn to God, not to their idols, not to their 350 million gods. They have to turn to God, and they have to repent to God. And God will give them the answer, right? I believe for India. Okay, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, who, and it's found in me. Say that right now. And in me. I have this. So let's read it again. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas are found in Daniel and in me. Thank you, Lord. Right now, we thank you for the impartation of your word to us, Lord. And we ask right now that we will begin to dream, that you will give us answers, you will give us riddles, answers to riddles, answers to enigmas, that problems that have troubled our nation for a very long time. We ask God for these things because we must be people who understand the times that we live in. We are going to be men of valor, we are going to be stout-hearted, and we are going to stand against the tide of evil because you have given us the ability to stand with the Word of God. And with you, with the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that we will be people who dream. And we ask, God, that we will be people who interpret our dreams. In Jesus' holy name, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. This is our great evangelism tool. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord.
You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.